got the best job in the world. Let's act like it, huh? All right. So the Atlanta Braves, as I mentioned off the rip, not exactly wheeling and dealing at the trade deadline. Oren, if something comes in late in the next couple of minutes, please let me know.
Oh, deals are still coming through. Announced after 6 o'clock, Charlie Morton is going to the Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
So deals can be announced after 6 o'clock. They have to be agreed to before 6, but we can still hear something about the Braves after 6 if it got taken care of and done before the 6 o'clock deadline.
Perfect. So keep me posted. So, but as of right now, as of 6:08, both Marcell Ozuna, Raisel Iglesias, Pierce Johnson, Sean Murphy,
Dylan Lee
are all remaining members of the Braves.
They're here.
Okay. How worried are you now? Because this year's a forget it, right? We're long past that point. How worried about you or the long-term future of the Braves? Because I was thinking about this, guys. They're going to essentially need to rework not their starting rotation, not their bullpen, their entire pitching staff is going to be reworked this offseason. If Grant Holmes is facing the same dilemma that Smith-Shawver and Strider were facing in terms of it's not a matter of if Tommy John, it's what type, then he's gone for the next year.
Good news is you got three starters, but that's literally all you have right now that can throw a baseball next year.
Yeah. Smith-Shawver's gone. Sale will be back. Should be. Lopez. But who knows? But what are you going to get for he hasn't thrown a pitch all year? What can you expect of him? And he was a wild card anyway. Last year was a complete anomaly for him. So your entire starting rotation needs to be reworked next year. And then the bullpen. Oh, my gosh. You need a new closer. You need a new setup man. You need a new seventh inning guy. You
need a new long
inning
guy.
Need a new long reliever guy. I mean, my goodness.
You need a new you're down 9 runs or you're up 9 runs, go out there and eat some innings guy.
Yeah, the slop guy.
Slop guy, yes.
You need a new shortstop. You need another outfielder. Because in my opinion, Ozuna from the Braves, he not coming back. And you're going to do this trifecta DH platoon between Baldwin, Murphy, and Acuna. Oh, yeah, Acuna's hurt again, by the way. He's out at least a couple of weeks. At least it's a grade one calf strain and not, you know, Achilles tear and you don't see him again for another year. So crisis avoided for now. But you're still faced with this tremendous dilemma. So with all of that said, my question is, what is your thought about the long-term future of the Braves? I mean, for me, the whole blueprint is kind of screwed up right now. Like, where is your level of faith, Braves country? Let's talk about it. 404-726-0929. This is going to be the most challenging offseason for AA that he's ever had by a landfall, by a 150-foot mountaintop that he's going to need to scale. He needs to rework his entire pitching staff. Again, Iglesias, no. In my opinion, Pierce Johnson, no. Dylan Lee, okay. Is he the one guy you want back from the bullpen? Did Daisbell Hernandez show you enough? I mean, come on. Like, literally the entire bullpen, you can make an argument, needs to be reworked. Aside from one or two guys at the most. So he's got to do that. He's got to get, I don't know, at bare minimum, 2 really good starting pitchers. Like, 2 really good ones. Not 2 Jake Odorizzi's, not 2 Yanni Chirizo or Chirinos. Wow. Mike Bell said Yanni Chirizo so much that it got him
stuck in your head,
brain,
huh? There you go.
And now I actually called him Yanni Chirizo. Yanni Chirinos, Jake Odorizzi, Eric Fetty, Cookie Carrasco, not those type of guys. You need legitimate major league middle of the rotation starters because you'll have Sale and Strider, and then you basically got to make up the rest. Schwellenbach, he's going to be back. What's he going to do? He pitched a career high this year. Is he going to be a guy that's going to be able to make it through a season? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. Couldn't do it this year. Elbow fracture out of nowhere? Where did that come from, right? 404-726-0929. So am I crazy to think that this whole plan that's been put together with Olsen and Riley and money and Sale and Strider, like, is that, no? Are we done here? We got to reassess and reevaluate the entire thing? I think you might have to. Aside from now an oft-injured Ronald Acuna, is there anybody on the Braves you would consider untradeable right now? I think Austin Riley's contract makes him untradeable. Is he untradeable? Because remember, here's the thing too, y'all. Farm system stinks. Didier Fuentes? Yeah. No. Not good. Nacho Alvarez? Yeah. No. Not good. Your farm system needs to be restocked. If somebody wants to take Matt Olson's contract and they're giving you a top prospect or two in return, I'm listening. Like, what about this team or who on this team is untouchable outside of Acuna? And honestly, if he's out again for 3, 4, 5 weeks, again, I mean, I don't know what to say at this point. Dude is injury prone, and you can't have that from your superstar. I'm not saying get rid of him. He's too good. He's too valuable. But what I am saying is, I think everybody else is on the table because it didn't work this year, all the injuries this year. And then when you look at the long-term plan is no more. It's not what it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You had this vision of how everything was going to line up, and now your rotation is in shambles. Your bullpen is in shambles. Shortstop is in shambles. I mean, center field, arguably. I mean, I know Money Harris has been a lot better of late. His average is still what, 230? I mean, 240 at the highest. I mean, what is this Braves baseball team? Not this year. Again, we're not talking about this year. Trade deadline is now come and gone, and again, we're going to monitor it. But as of now, the Braves essentially did nothing. They're just going to ride it out. They didn't get Ozuna out of here. They didn't get Murph out of here. They didn't get Pierce Johnson out of here, Raisel Iglesias out of here. Nothing. They didn't do anything. So they're just going to ride out the string, play it out as is, and look towards next year. But what is next year? That's my concern now. I don't know what next year is. This time last year, I knew what 2026 was going to be. Now I have no idea. Now I think you could consider blowing it up as too strong because you can't blow it up. There's just too many high-priced contracts. But individual pieces, again, nobody's going to want to take a $200 million contract from Austin Riley off the books. But if somebody is, you're telling me you're not listening? Again, with how bad this farm system is, you're not listening to that offer? Come on. Olsen, same thing. Again, the only untouchable, quote-unquote, I guess, is Acuna. But I have to throw an I guess in front of there because you're nothing if you're not available. And he injured himself again. It just seems like the way he plays the game, he has one speed. It's an MVP speed, but it's also a speed that allows you to get hurt. So 404-726-0929, where are you at? Are you concerned or how concerned are you about this blueprint, about the future of the Atlanta Braves as the major league trading deadline has come and gone? And there were a ton of big moves that happened today. We'll have our buddy Danny Vietti, MLB Insider for CBS and the Believe Network, break that all down a little bit later in the show. But first, I want to hear from you, Braves fans. Let's talk. Where's this team going next year and down the road? 404-726-0929. It is Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 10, just getting started. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and on the Odyssey app. Poll is up at CT Tonight, 929, at CT Tonight, 929. And we're also taking your calls at 404-726-0929. You heard my monologue. How concerned are you about the future of the Braves? I gave you three options: very, somewhat, or not at all. very leading the way right now with 74% of the votes. And not surprised. Again, it's dwindling down here, but there is still a slight chance we could hear something. We are 25 minutes past the deadline. Most of the reporting has come out already about moves have been made, but if Raisel Iglesias or Marcelo Ozuna finds a new home, we will certainly let you know. But as of right now, the Braves did nada. And, all right. I mean, I guess they didn't like if there were any packages out there for Ozuna and Iglesias. Maybe they were just like, hey, man, not good enough. We'd rather just keep him. Okay.
The consensus I'm seeing from folks on Twitter right now, because Braves fans are completely rational after this whole thing has gone down, is that Alex Anthopoulos went to the trade deadline with the idea that he wasn't going to do anything. And folks were really, really upset that nothing happened. Like,
but what was supposed to happen?
That's the thing. I don't know if people understand. Like, you got. I mean, break it down here. Marcel had 10-5 rights, meaning he can veto any trade that he does not want. Any team that he does not want to go to, he didn't have to go to because he has that 10-5 right.
He's also injured.
Yeah, and he's also hurt. Raisel Iglesias, he throws one pitch right now. He can't throw a slider. Every time he throws a slider, it gets hit 500 feet the opposite direction.
That's not an exaggeration.
No, and that's not even a joke. Like, people are hitting like 500 against that one pitch this year. Of the, I think half of the home runs he's given up have come off that one pitch. So Raisel is a one-pitch pitcher right now. Like, I think people need to understand that the Braves didn't have all of these commodities that teams were clamoring for. Like,
and they still view, again, I mean, I don't necessarily at this point, but they still view Olsen, Riley, Murphy, Baldwin,
as
Harris.
Future.
Those
yeah.
are long-term pieces. Although, again, at this point, I would, if somebody has a really sexy offer, again, because the farm system's so weak, if somebody has a really sexy offer, like the Oakland A's today got back the number 3 prospect in all of baseball.
For a reliever.
For their closer.
Like,
that's the type of offer I would be if
a team greatly overpaid for Mason Miller.
Yeah, they literally gave up the number 3 prospect in all of baseball.
18-year-old shortstop right now. 18-year-old shortstop who's playing high A ball right now.
Yeah. And so if you got a godfather offer
like that.
Yeah,
thanks for that, Padres.
Yeah, seriously. If you got a godfather offer like that for somebody, I'm at least listening. That's the point.
And see, the thing is, too, say the Padres, they go all, which they are literally going all in this year.
They are.
If it doesn't happen, you know what they did, guys? They depleted their farm system. So you're doing all of that to be in a position where you're trying to win now. And if it doesn't work out, what happens?
And the Braves don't even have a farm system to deplete. That's the problem. 404-726-0929. Danny, start us off. Danny, you're in the game.
Guys, come on now. I'll tell you what. Now, Marcel Ozuna and Iglesias, their contracts are up. Get me a single-A prospect. Get me something. Probably teams didn't want to pay his salary the rest of the year. I don't know. But you're going to just let those guys stay on the roster the rest of the year and you get nothing?
But you don't know Danny, you don't know what the offers were. We'll never know. Maybe Alex will tell us. He's going to speak in a little bit. But you don't know what the offers were. Maybe they were literal crap, and he was just like, no.
Some crap versus you get nothing. These guys are not on the contract until this year. You get nothing. You get nothing. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
So then, you know
so
what?
So you're not going to take some crap.
But
take a single-A guy.
Danny,
take something.
You know what that tells me? They value saving face this season, trying to win as many games as possible, than having it look like a team that's going to win 70 games.
And what's the good of trying to trade for a single-A guy that's not going to help? Like, you're not just going to trade a guy just to get a guy back. You're not going to trade a guy just because he's not going to be here next year.
Danny,
like, what good is that?
Danny's hue and cry about a single-A player. It could be a single-A player that has a 0% chance of making the major leagues. For what?
So you're just trading it for somebody who's going to bring no value to your team in the present and in the future just to get a guy off your roster who's not possibly going to be here next year?
Yeah, like that guy's upside might be the Savannah Bananas.
That's how GMs get fired.
Seriously. So you know what that tells me, Danny? It tells me Alex Anthopoulos and his staff said, what is more valuable to us than getting a potential guy with a 2% chance to make the major leagues in single A, it's more important for us to try to win as many games as possible this season. That's what he said. That's what that says. 404-726-0929. Like it or not, that's not me. That's them. Tony's up next. Tony.
All right, appreciate it. I'm not really worried, man, but I'm gonna tell you what. If they get rid of the manager, I won't be worried at all. So I think the manager was the problem the whole year. You know, I just think that some decisions he made destroyed the continuity of the team, and it ran like wildfire. But if they get rid of the manager, I won't be worried because the team has been good for 7 years. It's a good team. I just think that the manager has lost the team. He lost the team in the beginning of the year, a few things he did, and they just stopped listening to him. That's my point.
No, Tony, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So let's column A, column B here. Column A, Tony, you're not wrong. Brian Snicker needs to go. That's abundantly clear. There's no planet, Earth or otherwise, where I bring Brian Snicker back next year. It's not happening. You need a new voice. You need fresh vibes in the clubhouse, all that stuff. But you also can't ignore everything else that happened this year. Your literal entire pitching staff is wiped out. Your bullpen is wiped out. You got nothing. You essentially don't have a pitching staff right now. Total. Not just starters or bullpen. Total. 404-726-0929. So, yes, Snicker is definitely part of the problem. I agree. He needs to go. You need a fresh voice. But it's not 100% on Snicker either. But appreciate it, Tony. Good stuff. Jacob, finish us off. Jacob, go ahead.
Hey, you know, I just look at this team, and I look at everything that's happened in the last 4 years, and I think we really need to ask the question, is this window closing? Because if it is, then we should have absolutely sold at the deadline. But AA still got it in his head that, oh, well, we still have some of these pieces, but pitching is depleted. You don't have a shortstop who can hit it over someone's head in the outfield. So the Braves just need to ask themselves this question. Look in the mirror. Is this done? That's all I got.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that's exactly the conversation we're having tonight. I appreciate the phone call. 404-726-0929. That's exactly what we're saying. Should you consider at this point in the offseason looking at everything? Looking at is this a blueprint kind of question? Or do you still believe in the core of this team? Do you believe Acuna can go a full season without getting hurt? Do you believe Matt Olson has another 40 home run season in him? Do you believe Austin Riley's going to get back to the guy that batted 280, 30 home runs, 90 RBIs for 3 straight years? Do you believe Michael Harris is the player he's been over the last 2 weeks or the first 3.5 months? Those are the questions they need to ask now. Because if not, you got to start looking at the big picture, at the blueprint. This can become a blueprint question. 404-726-0929. We know the blueprint for the Atlanta Falcons is starting to take shape. Heck yeah. Love what James Pierce Jr. is doing. We'll chat with Joe Patrick. Get a boots on the ground report from Flowery Branch next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey app. Go vote on the poll at CT Tonight 929 on the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, I need this track on a gloomy day here in the A in the great state of Georgia. Huge MLB trade deadline to recap. We'll do that next hour with our buddy Danny Vietti of CBS Sports and the Believe Podcast Network. But right now, we got to get a boots on the ground report from our buddy Joe Patrick. Joe Patrick on Football. It's a new podcast. Make sure you check it out. Also, our Falcons insider here at 92.9 The Game. Joe, let's start with a little injury update. Sounds like we finally got the word on what's going on with our number 15 overall pick, Jalen Walker.
Yeah, he's got what Raheem Morris referred to as a very minor hamstring injury, and I would go so far as to say it was so minor that he was actually a full participant in individual drills today. I mean, I should say he was full speed during individual drills. He was not a full participant at practice because he only did individual drills, but he was not you know, doing those at half speed or anything. He was going full torque and, you know, getting off the ball, that kind of thing. So I think that that sets up well for him, you know, going forward from here. I, you know, just got done recording as well of the new podcast, which is coming out tomorrow. And I think that, that the most realistic expectation for him is for him to be back as a full participant in practice, you know, which means, you know, doing the 11 on 11 stuff probably on Monday. Next week they practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, heading into the Friday preseason game. So it seems to me like that would be kind of an ideal schedule for him to get on. But I think that you can, if you have fears about it, I would not worry too much about this situation right now.
When do you think we'll see Mooney?
So Mooney's going to be a little bit longer, obviously. Raheem Morris is now saying it's a couple weeks after it was a few weeks when it happened last week at the training camp opener. So we'll see. And like basically, so we were told that that's not necessarily the timetable for his return, which was kind of the way it was presented when the Falcons initially kind of disseminated the information. And to be fair, the Falcons do not have to say anything about any of these injuries. So anything we get, we should be, I guess, be appreciative of. But basically, in this instance, they will tell us more in a couple weeks, it sounds like. They will evaluate him at that point and then determine kind of what the how far it goes. But again, kind of I'm feeling similarly to this one as I was with, like, Jalen Walker, where it's not as big of a deal. He has been out at practice, Darnell Mooney has, kind of walking around, you know, watching the guys go through the drills and everything. He's not in a sling. He doesn't seem to have any sort of, like, you know, protection on it or kind of bracing on it at all. So that to me would suggest that it's going relatively well and that it's not, certainly not some, you know, extremely long-term injury that he's got.
Sounds like Ray McLeod has been the guy that's been stepping up in his absence.
Yeah, I mean, they're rotating lots of guys through. Similarly, you know, we've had this conversation on defense where there's just, you know, the two deep is kind of just all mixed up with guys, especially when you're talking about the defensive line. And I would say it's kind of similar right now with the receivers. Obviously, you've got Drake as the Z, and, you know, Darnell Mooney is the X in on this team. And so that's the role they're replacing. And Ray Ray is obviously staying on the field because he's kind of a starter as the F receiver or the slot receiver. And, you know, but he's been getting some runs in different positions. They've also mentioned that David Sills is a guy who's generally they're kind of projecting as, you know, the backup Z right now to Drake London has been getting some reps at X. Chris Blair, of course, is a guy who last year was getting some reps at X, even in the regular season when Michael Penix came up because he had a bit of a rapport with him, having played together on scout teams. So they're going to continue to kind of, you know, just test the waters, see what all these guys can do. And in general, you know, as far as evaluating some of these players who are a little bit further down the roster, it's some good opportunities for them to show the coaching staff and the front office what they've got.
In your opinion, why did they bring in another safety?
I think just for numbers. I mean, it's a pretty light room right now. Like, they basically had, I'm trying to think of exactly all the safeties that they have. Because, like, after they cut Kevin King had basically been playing safety for the team, even though he kind of originally came up into the NFL as a corner.
Is it just kind of transitioned Fuller, to a safety Watson, role? Bates?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically, yeah, and if you want to count Bowman as a safety technically, but it's, you know, kind of similar where he's kind of changed positions into like a full-time nickel situation. So, yeah, it's basically Helms, Fuller, Bates, and Xavier Watts. Xavier Watts also kind of went down in practice today. Not, I shouldn't say, like, he got treatment on the field. Like he looked like he was getting something taped, and then he didn't participate in 11-on-11. So, again, you know, little things. Guys are going to have little injuries. Like little things happen during training camp. I almost hesitate to even mention it because some of these things are so minor and we just don't know the extent of them. Doesn't seem like a big deal and certainly wasn't a big talking point after practice with any of the guys. But just to add numbers to that room, and I think they'll continue to do that throughout training camp. It always happens every year.
I'm talking all things Falcons with our insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out the new podcast, Joe Patrick on Football. James Pierce Jr. continues to make waves. Joe, what have you seen from him on the field?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the talk of camp right now. He's kind of stealing the show because for a couple reasons. One is the play on the field, like you said, like that is, you know, standout. But I think it's in tandem. It's what he's doing on the field, which is, you know, basically having a lot of success against anybody he's being put up against. whether that's Storm Norton, whether that's Caleb McGarry, they've even moved him to the other side and had him gone against Jake Matthews, and he's gotten the best of Jake Matthews from time to time. So that speaks really well, but I think one of the reasons why he's kind of capturing the attention of so many Falcons fans is because there was so much drama around him and the way that the Falcons acquired him and trading away their first round pick next year for him. And I think that the way that things have gone to this point, it couldn't really be much better. And I think that Falcons fans appreciate the fighting and the scuffling that occurred on Sunday. And I think that there's always the potential for that kind of thing to get out of hand. I think we're kind of seeing it happen a little bit in Dallas based on what I saw today on Twitter. But, you know, just in having talked to basically a lot of the players involved and the coaches involved, I think the way that it's all settled out since then has been basically the best possible scenario. I mean, I talked to Matthew Bergeron on Tuesday, whose helmet James Beers ripped off during one of the scuffles. And Bergeron is totally cool with him. You know, he's like, this is what we want. Like, I like that kind of stuff. It's chippy. And that's the kind of, you know, mindset that we have to be ready to be in week one in a huge game against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of fans, frankly, like it too. And so, and the other thing, Chris, is, you know, we talked to James Pierce today after practice, and I have to say, you know, there was all this talk about him, and I think maybe the concerns that teams had about whether he either cared about football or whether he, like, cared about his teammates. You know, all these different things were swirling around him, and I got to say, just, like, in talking to him and listening to him speak, he hasn't been anything but, like, kind of a pleasure to deal with, to be perfectly honest. Like, and I'm sure, you know, he's got a short temper from time to time, and, you know, things like, I'm sure, like, he's presenting himself in the best possible way to us. But I just got to say, you know, in taking that into account, taking his teammates' comments into account, it all seems to be going basically perfect for James Pierce Jr. at this point.
It looks like Michael Penix Jr. got a little taste of reality today through a couple of bad passes in the end zone, including a pick. What did you see from him?
Yeah, he threw his first pick of training camp today. And, you know, I kind of chuckle at that because I feel like all offseason, while I think it's fair to say we've been kind of pumping him up because of what we saw and, like, how excited we were with what we saw out of him in those three games. But I think the national media wasn't really paying attention to him very closely and the Falcons in general very closely during that time. And then you see guys kind of, you know, pundits, analysts kind of dig into his film. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like I hear all this talk about him being inaccurate. You know, that's like the biggest drawback. He's going to have all these big misses. And he throws his first interception of training camp, you know, on the fifth practice. And it's not like he's just been checking it down to avoid interceptions. If anything, the exact opposite. The guy's been just like throwing dart after dart down the field. And this one was, it was a bad throw. He was trying to go to Drake London in the corner. They were running the hurry up offense, like a 2-minute drill. I believe there was like 25 seconds left on the clock. They were at about the 20-yard line. You know, he tried to go to Drake London at that back pylon, just underthrew it. And Natron Brooks, credit to him, he got his head turned around and made a play on the ball and came down with it while Drake was trying to kind of break the thing up. So, you know, bad throw. That's going to happen from time to time. I have not been shy, for as excited as I am about Penix, I have not been shy in saying that I think that he's going to throw his fair share of interceptions. I just think the big-time positive plays, the high-value positive plays, are going to pretty drastically outweigh the negatives in that sense. And so I think that that's basically what we've seen in training camp so far.
Is it just me, or does there seem to be some positive momentum building around Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, there is. I mean, that first day was kind of crazy. You know, like, he caught some passes and, you know, Penix, of course, goes into his press conference that day also and is talking about how, you know, we got the ball to KP today, you know, and they're kind of being that concerted effort. I would not say he's, like, kind of stood out as much, but I would also, you know, say that he's just not had as many reps. Like, he's not repping every single time with the offense. They're modifying his workload a little bit. I think they're being very cautious with his health because, you know, his health has been, I think, something that this coaching staff has identified as something that's kind of held him back in terms of the production and just kind of feeling the wear and tear of being a lighter tight end at that position, kind of like a lighter and thinner framed player. at that position, he's much more likely to kind of get beaten up and for those bumps and bruises to really impact the strengths of his game. So I think that they're really doing their best to kind of hold him out as much as possible while still getting him the work that he needs to be prepared going into the season. And for that reason, I think it's actually an extremely smart approach by the staff. And I think that, you know, from Pitts' perspective, you know, it's reflected in the history that players going into contract years generally have some of the best performances, some of the best seasons of their careers in those years where they're trying to earn that contract. So I'd expect nothing less from Kyle Pitts this year. I think he's primed at this point to have a, you know, potentially the best year he's had as a Falcon. I know that's kind of big, and maybe not the yardage totals that he had in that first year, because there's many different ways that Penix can spread the ball around with the weapons on this team, but I think that he's going to be extremely effective.
How much have you seen from Tyler Allgeier?
Yeah, so actually I think we've gotten to see the best of Tyler Allgeier really in these first couple of, or these last couple of practices, which are the first padded practices that we've had. Now, I say that, and I should warn you, Chris, did not really have a great view of a lot of the stuff that was happening today. The only reason I really got a better look at that interception that I described was because they had turned around, were coming towards us, but a lot of the practice today was like the players were like lined up in between where media was standing and where the play was happening. So, and these are big time football players. So you just couldn't really see a lot of what was going on. So I've got to be honest and say I didn't really have as good of an eye on what was happening today, but he made a big impression on me on Tuesday. And I would just say, generally speaking, just the way that Tyler Allgeier looks physically right now is as big and strong as I've seen him look. And like, you know, he kind of presents as that runner at this point that I would imagine some defenders are going to think twice about whether they actually want to stick their nose in against him. And I've always thought that he's been one of the Falcons' like better big play threats in the ground game, because he hits the line of scrimmage with such speed, and he's got that big mass and kind of a low center of gravity that he's kind of got that stocky build. He can just easily break a tackle with, you know, he's not a make you miss back like Bijan obviously is, but he is a back that can still, you know, force as many, or, you know, many missed tackles, maybe not as many as Bijan, but still force a lot of missed tackles just because guys can't quite get their arms around those thick legs and big arms that he's got. And so I think that he and Bijan have the potential to really do something special on the ground this year.
Before I let you go, what's the latest on the kicking competition?
Yeah, so I actually had a take on this that's going to come out on the podcast tomorrow, but I'll tell you how I'm thinking about this right now, which is that I don't think Lenny Craig can win this kicking battle. And I say this saying that Lenny Craig has looked, you know, technically I think he's like one kick better. He's made one more of their opportunities than Koo has so far. And when you see Craig kick the ball, I mean, the power is there clearly, more so than Koo, I would say, just based on the kicks that we've seen so far in this training camp. But the reason I say he can't win it. Koo can lose it. And so there is the chance that Lenny Craig could go into week one as the Falcons kicker if Koo does not perform during this training camp. But I say that to say Lenny Craig is untested when it comes to like the pressure that comes with an NFL kick, and especially the kicks that you need your kicker to be making, which are often the ones that literally the game rests upon at the very end. And yes, like, you know, you can do things in practice to try to build the pressure, but I don't think there's anything that can replicate the successes that Koo has had in, you know, in his past, in his career, making some of those game winning kicks. And obviously he's missed some as well. Last year, he's not shy about saying it was obviously the worst year of his career. But I think that for that reason, Koo is probably going to have this job until they feel like he's not capable of being the kicker he's been for this team for the better part of the last several years.
Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll chat again on Monday, and we will be checking out the pod.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Joe Patrick there, our Falcons insider. Had Joe on today because I am off tomorrow. Some special programming coming your way tomorrow night. Excited for y'all to hear that. Stay tuned. It's going to be interesting. An old friend returns to this time slot for one night only, and we'll see what shenanigans are in store. But I'm with you until 10 o'clock in my regular slot. He speaks. Alex Anthopoulos said a couple of very interesting things. Oren and I will react to that next. Oh, boy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.